Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 269 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her retirement. Now that's going to be provocative. We have a terrific show coming up. Just know that before we begin the episode, it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils, customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Okie dokie, now here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show because we're just sitting here loving your feedback. I'll give you another reminder toward the end of the show, but remember, rate and review. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about Her.
So I was reading a very provocative piece that was in the New York Times, one of my favorite places to troll for really good, hot, bleeding edge, you know, off the ledge kind of, I don't know, things out there that that relate to women especially. And here we have a pandemic problem for older workers. Will they have to retire sooner? Huh. Okay. You got me on that one. And then I read the actual article and it was all about some of the really poignant perspectives of an expert in this field, Dr. Dorian Mincer, who is a retirement coach. Yeah, it's a thing. Consultant and popular speaker. And she combines her personal and professional experiences as a therapist, coach, and teacher with expertise in adult development, life planning, and positive psychology as she works to help people navigate the second half of life. So, Dorian, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so delighted to be with you today and glad you came upon that article. I think it's a really good article.
Well, you know, this is all about how COVID is potentially changing the entire narrative for retirement, as well as continuing to work for people who are in their 50s, 60s, and beyond. So tell us, how is this whole COVID pandemic issue beginning to change that narrative?
Well, I think that it's beginning to change it in some profound ways, but I must say at the beginning that it's sort of beginning to happen because some people, depending on work and profession, are able to work at home, but now things are beginning to open up and people are faced with this quandary. Is it safe to go back to an office? Can I still work from home? What if what I was doing isn't going to continue anymore because of what's happened with all the close downs and the spikes and all of that? So I think it's a crossroads for many people who were really thinking about working for a much longer time. I don't actually know how many people will see retired, but some may be forced into retirement. And, you know, I know for myself that, you know, I'm in no rush to go back to see people face to face. I'm a psychologist, a coach, and I'm very happy with the virtual setup because it feels like it's just too risky because I'm of my age and underlying medical issue. It's just too risky to be in a situation where I don't know who's coming and going and don't want to really expose myself or my family to the possibilities of illness.
And yet at the same time, what's pointed out in the article is that many older workers, and these are generally people over 40 for sure, say they'll need to work much longer in life because of the economic crisis that occurred at the same time that COVID hit, because obviously they're intertwined, and that 37% of baby boomers, 39% of respondents from the Gen X group said they delayed retirement, you know, or were considering doing so. So already we have changes taking place, which is interesting because the irony is you're going to have a lot of people who thought they'd be able to retire, not going to be able to, yet at the same time are afraid to go back to work. As a consultant, what do you tell people like that?
Well, it's an opportunity to really reflect and figure out how do you want to live the rest of your life and, you know, what are the parts you can control. For some people, and I am a believer, although I'm not a financial planner, I think it's important for people, no matter how much or how little you have, to talk with a financial planner who hopefully has a holistic kind of orientation to really figure out what amount of money you need in terms of the lifestyle you want. But I think many people in the boomer population have been in the what's often called the sandwich generation or the squeeze generation and aren't necessarily in a financial position that they can stop working. And this is a real serious time because it's harder if where you were working closes down or you don't feel safe going back. It's harder for older workers to find work. Not impossible, but it's harder. And I think that with COVID-19, and until we have either good treatment and or a really good vaccine that we know works and gives some immunity, I think people are going to be in a quandary. So I think it's important. So as a consultant or as a coach, I would really work with people to explore what they envision for themselves. What are their skills? What are the skills they feel they could transfer? What are some maybe gaps that they have that might make them more marketable? You know, one of the silver linings of COVID-19 is that there's so many online opportunities now, and it could be a time that somebody gets a new certification or gets training in another area. And I think it's going to be important not to think so much about full-time work that may or may not exist in certain situations, but to think about in some respects, the gig economy or, you know, project work, part-time work. There's even a more emphasis now on sort of flex jobs, you know, where it may be helping with projects. I think people have to become very creative in both exploring and reflecting on, do they have to work for how much longer? Is it an issue also of health insurance? You know, it's not until 65 that people qualify for Medicare. Is it an issue in terms of wanting to keep accruing income because of Social Security? Because although it's available at age 62, it's certainly to your advantage if you can put it off until your full retirement age, which is, depending on your age, 66 or 67, or at 70 when it maxes, you know, to the most amount. There's so many variables. So I really try to work with people on just trying to figure out what their options are. And what they want, ideally, but also having what I like to term an optimistic sense of realism to really try to figure out what is now possible in this age of COVID, because I think it's going to be with us for quite a while is what it looks like.
Well, yeah, I think it is, too, for a lot of reasons. You know, I mean, clearly my own feeling is that we're already developing a very robust herd immunity in the United States. And, you know, we are doing a much better job of protecting the most vulnerable. And I think the people who are in much better shape should be out there. We should stop this ridiculous lockdown. And that people who are out there need to be responsible. Slap on those masks, people, for crying out loud. And practice physical distancing. That's all extremely important. So again, because it's going to be around, there's another conversation, and this was brought out in the article. And what was brought out was the conversation for couples. Now, you have a man and a woman. Now, this is the Her Radio podcast. So what we're talking about here is how does this impact women? Let's look at the whole issue of the couple thing. First of all, we have new statistics out about how long men and women are going to be around in the United States. There was a great article in the Wall Street Journal very recently about aging differences between men and women. Women really now pushing 88 to 89 years old in terms of lifespan, and men closer to 81, 82. So yeah, women are going to live longer, no question about that. But if you have a couple, and I believe almost everyone knows that in couples, most of the time, I think, there's one person in the couple who retires, the other one doesn't. And there's this discordance for a lot of reasons. And so now, how has COVID changed that conversation? And how does that affect women in particular? What do you think?
Well, I think people are talking about it more. I think it's been increasing over the years of people beginning to talk about retirement, because it's just much more out there that there's sort of choices about it. The reality is that women both live longer, usually, and it's not unusual that women may have entered the labor force later than their husband, perhaps deciding to, you know, be at home with young children, or, you know, kind of phasing back in if there's, you know, if there is a family. And in general, what I see is that many women are sort of reaching their peak at a potential time when some men, at least, are winding down. So I think it's a really interesting and challenging and kind of exciting time for couples, if they can let themselves begin to talk about it and figure out, you know, that we don't have to do the exact same thing. I think the jury's not out about if people should retire at the same time or another time, but I see a lot of situations where one or the other wants to work longer. And sometimes it's based on who has the health insurance. You know, if there is the issue that neither of the couple are 65, you know, you might need to have insurance for a while longer. But I think it's important for women to think about how to maximize what their earning potential is. I mean, the reality is the more you work, the more Social Security you receive. And so it's an interesting issue in terms of Social Security. There is a spousal benefit. So if both people are of Social Security age and say, let's just take the stereotype, say the husband is older, then when he is full retirement age and takes, you know, Social Security, his wife can qualify for a spousal benefit, which is a half of what the husband gets. And that would enable the wife to allow her Social Security to accumulate longer, and ideally to age 70. There is also the reality that sometimes it actually makes sense for the wife to take the Social Security a little earlier, say at 66 or 67, depending on which age it is for your full retirement age, knowing that if the husband is older and the husband has more Social Security, then at the time of a partner's death, the woman is able to get the higher Social Security benefit. So Social Security is a factor to consider in terms of how long you're working, as well as some of the spousal benefits. But I think what I think is really important is connection, engagement, and purpose and meaning. If you think about it, work and active parenting give that to whomever, male or female. And I think that for men and women, but since we're focusing more on women, it's so important to think about who are you in addition to the work you do, or to the parenting and the identity of a parent that you've been, so that you hopefully, while there's time too to develop it, you develop these other interests for yourself and these other ways of feeling vital and connected and engaged with things. Because I think...
Well, can I ask you a question? You know, with all of the people that you're treating right now through teletherapy, look at the women for a minute. What are you hearing are the biggest challenges right now with all of this stuff going down, with, you know, everything from lockdowns to phase one, phase two, whatever, openings and reopenings? Tell me your general feeling about how women are confronting these challenges. What are the biggest struggles here?
I think the biggest struggle I see for women is some of the anxiety and the depression of not knowing. It's hard with uncertainty, and we have so much uncertainty, and I think we want to control the parts we can. So I'm seeing a lot of women, both that I see in therapy as well as coaching, that are just dealing with finding ways to manage some of their anxiety, you know, using meditation, using yoga, exercising, really important things. And a lot of concern of, am I going to get sick and am I going to get family members sick? Or are my family members going to get me sick or my partner sick? So I think there's a lot of worries in relation to that. And so it becomes important for people, I think, to develop ways to really have stress management, you know, to kind of balance themselves, calm themselves down, use exercise, and talk about these things. I'm a real believer in communication. So to, you know, talk with others. I think a lot of women...
Well, I'm sort of laughing. Well, I'm laughing a little bit about this because you keep saying exercise. Yeah. You know, as an expert in sports medicine and all things physical activity, you know, here I've spent, Lord knows, with all my colleagues forever trying to convince people to get off the freaking couch and get out there and, you know, move your little behind. And now what's happening is, go figure, the healthiest place for you to be is outdoors.
Right.
And now you'd have to, you know, have your head in the sand not to have read the headlines that say the healthier you are, the less chance you're going to have an issue with COVID. Even if you do get infected, the bottom line is that, you know, you're going to end up having either asymptomatic, mild, or moderate infection if you take really much better care of yourself. So, you know, I love that. And so that's just a shout out to all of my HER podcast listeners. You know, please you use this, you know, in the midst of difficulty lies opportunity. And the opportunity here is to understand that you reap the rewards of taking good care of yourself when a big crisis like this hits. Let's pivot for a moment, Dorian, to the whole issue of positive psychology. Tell people what that is and how that might help women get through all of the challenges that we face today.
Positive psychology, I think the concept of it was developed by Marty Seligman, who's at University of Pennsylvania right now. But basically, it's talking about well-being and how we establish well-being for ourselves and a sense of accomplishment or achievement, connection, engagement, purpose and meaning, meaningful relationships are all really important components of being and feeling at our best, developing resilience, gratitude, forgiving ourselves, looking, just as, you know, Dr. Pam was just saying, looking at the possibilities of things, and really allowing oneself to aspire to one's best. And I find it just very, very helpful. I think that well-being is so important, and exercise, just as, I mean, pivoting back for a moment, is part of that, too, of just taking care of our mind and body and spirit. And I think psychology focuses on that. And it's looking at the health of people rather than the idea of the disease or, you know, disarray or disequilibrium. It's really focusing on these positive aspects that we all can have some control over. I mean, we can't control it all, but trying to control the parts we can so we can function at our best. And I think it's particularly important. I mean, I think it's important for men and women, but I think it's particularly important for women because I think that, you know, whether women are working in the outside world and or working at home, we need to really take care of ourselves in so many different ways. You know, they always say on the airplane, put your oxygen on first. And I'm a believer in that. You know, this self-care and thinking about the positive aspects of life and positivity and how to focus on that. It's not, you know, ignoring that there are struggles and challenges that we all have, but the more we can be in touch with the strength inside of us, the better off we are in being able to be resilient in dealing with, like, COVID-19 or, you know, the financial issues that are there, because it's hard, but our attitude really has so much difference. There's actually a study, just to real quickly say, that by the time we're 65, it's 30% genetics, but 70% attitude, lifestyle choices, nurturing our body, brain, body, relationships, you know, which is really tied into positive psychology and positive living, so that you can, you know, live and grow and age and evolve and, you know, and be at your best, sort of evolving as you're growing.
Excellent. I absolutely love that. And so right now, here we are with the tough things. We have fear. We have uncertainty. We have anxiety, doubt, lack of trust, sometimes in the voices we're hearing. So could you give us, you know, an easy thing for people to do to calm all that down? What could they do? Like your top 3 to 5 things that you would recommend as an experienced psychologist to help women calm down the anxiety around all of this, whether they were looking toward retirement and now it's not going to happen, or the economic stress associated with all of this. What, you know, at any age, what could a woman do to calm down that anxiety?
Okay, I think there are a few things. I think one that you mentioned before, I think different stress reduction measures like exercise, meditation, yoga, all of those things are helpful. I think journaling sometimes can be very helpful. You know, letting yourself, sometimes writing it down gets it outside of yourself, and it's really helpful to date it and just, you know, sometimes even free writing, you know, where you just write whatever you're feeling. I think it's helpful to reflect and think about what are 3 things you're really proud of that you've accomplished, because sometimes it's easy to lose sight of things we're proud of, and we sometimes focus more on the negative. But what are 3 things that you're most proud of and why? Another, I think, helpful thing is think about, you know, anywhere from 3 to 10 really special, important times in your life. What made it special? Who was with you? You know, what was it that you were experiencing it? All of that, I think, is helpful of really getting in touch with that inner rich life that you have. And sometimes we can do things, and other times we have to kind of deal with our memories of things or our imagination of things. I think, as I mentioned before, I think gratitude, being thankful for what we have. It's so easy to focus on what we don't have, but just being grateful. And I'm not meaning Pollyanna, but just, you know, it's sometimes very helpful to think about what are, by the end of the day, what are 3 things that made you smile today? What are 3 things that were sort of blessings or positive, something you're grateful for? And you can also think about 3 things that brought you down a bit, but then balance it with the positive things. So I think all of these things, and forgiving yourself. I mean, we all can be so harsh on ourselves. I think that the whole issue for many women of wanting to be perfect and the superwoman and all. And, you know, we need to just give ourselves some slack and just know that there is no superwoman out there. You know, we all have strengths and limitations, and just being more gentle on ourselves, forgiving ourselves, which enables us, I think, to forgive other people. So I think those would be my key things. I mean, I wish that there was a magic wand, but there's not. But there really are things you can do that help you control the parts of your life that you can. I mean, certainly there's a lot we can't, but there's a lot we can. And attitude, lifestyle choices, being kind to ourselves and other people, appreciating, you know, our strengths and our limitations. I think that all goes a long way.
You know, just listening to you, I was thinking of that one phrase from Frozen, let it go.
That's good,
just,
yeah.
Let it go, yeah. You know? And I really feel like that's where it is right now. You know, we have mm-hmm. to be able to let it go. And just say there's only so much you can control. Now, what you can't control, which is wonderful, you know, how you live your life. And also there are aspects of your environment you can control. So trying to make it as user-friendly as possible. And then I think you said those special words that you know I love to say, and that is gratitude, feeling blessed, knowing what your gratitudes are, and reframing the narrative look, we're all in this, you know, together. I don't care who you are. We're in this together. And so it's really important to kind of kick back and reframe things constantly so that you know, yeah, you're going to get through this. You're just plain going to get through this. You're going to adapt, adjust, pivot, do whatever it takes to demonstrate resilience. And I think that resilience is at the heart of the ability to survive. And then taking it a step further, once you survive, can you thrive then? Can you really, you know, find those opportunities? And I think you stated that beautifully in your comments. So A plus to that. Everyone, we've been talking to Dr. Dorian Mincer, and she is a psychologist, a retirement coach, consultant, and has really shared with us her words of wisdom about how women especially can rein in their anxiety, because women are much more prone to anxiety during these times of uncertainty and fear. Now we can kind of sit with this a little bit longer. I was inspired to reach out to Dr. Mincer when she was featured in an absolutely superb piece in the New York Times called "A Pandemic Problem for Older Workers. Will they have to retire sooner?" And then it occurred to me in talking about that one theme, we're really talking about how all of us are looking at the economic stress and struggles, potentially, as well as, hey, you know, man and woman make plans, God laughs. And so, you know, God must be hysterical right about this time, looking down upon this mess that we've that has occurred, but it is what it is. So I just want to thank you once again, Dr. Mincer, for being on the HER podcast. And everyone who wants to learn more about Dr. Mincer's work, you can go to her website, which is revolutionizeretirement.com, revolutionizeretirement.com, to learn about her wonderful work. I want to thank you again, Dr. Mincer, for being on the HER podcast.
Thank you. It was a delight to be here with you, and it's so important to think about what we as women can do to make the best life for ourselves possible in any circumstance.
Absolutely. And now our listeners are going to take your words of wisdom and put them to work. That's right. All right. Now, everyone out there, speaking of you, please take a minute to hit iTunes and rate and review the show. We want to hear from you. Especially me, because I'm the host of the HER podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the HER podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.